He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. When we say those words, he is risen, it matters whether or not they are true. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Apostle Paul says, you are still in your sin and your faith is in vain. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then all of his teachings prophesying his resurrection on the third day aren't true, and therefore there's no use to believe. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then obviously he's not Lord over all things. Sin and death have the victory. The body's still in the grave. It matters, friends, whether or not Jesus exited the tomb on the third day. In fact, the truthfulness of the resurrection matters so much that we can say with conviction, the entire Christian faith hinges upon whether or not Jesus rose from the dead. It is a real event that happened in real time in front of real people. Peter was one of those people. In the book of Acts, we hear Peter preaching boldly. And he makes the claim that he and the apostles, they were eyewitnesses, he says, to Jesus of Nazareth and his works. Far from being a denier of Jesus in the book of Acts, we see a Peter who is bold, and he courageously preaches about Christ and his saving gospel. He even accuses the Jews of crucifying the Lord. When he preaches to the Gentiles, he tells them, you are aware of the events that occurred in the life of Jesus. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, the apostle says. This wasn't new information to his audience. They knew these things. Peter also says in Acts that he and the apostles ate and drank with Jesus after he rose from the dead. They claim to have witnessed the living Christ with their own eyes, and now they testify to what they saw. Their preaching is bold, it is clear, and it is rooted in eyewitness testimony, and it makes no sense. It makes no sense to be a bold proclaimer of the Word of God if they knew Jesus did not rise from the dead. If the apostles knew the tomb was sealed and in it laid a decomposing body, then their bold, courageous witness makes no sense. Every time Peter opened his mouth, he risked persecution and death. Church tradition says he died a martyr's death. Why go through all the trouble if you know without a doubt the whole thing is a sham? If that was the case, it would have been better off for them to admit their mistake, get back into worshiping in the synagogues, go back to being fishermen and call it a day. That would have been the reasonable thing to do had they known Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But that's not what happens. Instead, they are bold proclaimers of Jesus exiting the tomb on that third day. The logical explanation we have for the evidence before us is that their witness is true, and they saw Christ, the living Christ, with their very own eyes. Like no other religious book on the market, the Bible is distinct because the Bible actually names a bunch of people. It calls upon witnesses to these events, even women. Even women in a society where a woman's testimony was not held as high as that of a man's, women were named as those who encountered the living Christ. That doesn't make a lot of sense unless it is true. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, they saw the angel. They saw the open tomb. They knew the apostles. They were known throughout the community. Anybody could have gone up to them and asked them about this event, and they could have said yes or no. The Bible mentions real people, real witnesses. A dangerous thing to do if you're trying to spread a story when you're telling a lie, a fabrication. You include as few names, as few people as possible, so your story cannot be denied. Such is the method of every false prophet, ranging from Muhammad to Joseph Smith. That's not what we find in Holy Scripture. We have real witnesses, real people who saw these things, and they testify to seeing the living Christ, who says to you today, "Do not be afraid." He is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. The world hasn't changed much since Jesus showed himself to Peter and the other witnesses. And when I say the world hasn't changed much, I'm alluding to the fact that the world still suffers from sin today, just as it did when Jesus was crucified. There are still evil rulers who long to see Christianity destroyed. There are still oppressive governments who have no need for the Christian confession. And there is still sin affecting each and every one of us. Along with the sinful world, we are still confronted with our own mistakes, our own failings, our own sin, our own temptations, that are just as powerful today as they were 2,000 years ago, and yes, even beyond that. The sinfulness of man does not cease in this life, even after the resurrection. We still struggle. We still fall. And if you think there are no consequences for sin, friends, I bid you just look at death. Death is a very vivid reminder that sin is real and the scriptures are true when it says the wages of sin is death. It always comes. Even for Christians, death comes. And so in this respect, in regards to sin and death, the world hasn't changed. We still sin. We still need to repent, and we will still die an earthly death. And so what does the resurrection mean for you? Simply this: as Jesus lives beyond the grave, so do you. That's the promise. Jesus rises on the third day to proclaim victory, that death, the bondage of death, could not hold him in the tomb. He testifies to the world that he has done it. And as he lives, you live. Faith in Christ grabs hold of this promise, friends. Faith. Faith in Christ makes you his child, his sheep. And where he is, you are. As he lives, you live, even beyond the grave. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. This is the word of your Lord and your God. That is the promise. His resurrection is one you share in. That's the good news. That's what you have to look forward to. A resurrection of the body on account of faith in Christ now. There's also something else you have. Via faith in Christ, that means right now, friends, you possess the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Being justified by your God. God looking down upon you, a sinner, and declaring you to be innocent for the sake of Christ, who took your sin. That gift, Christian friends, is yours now by faith in Jesus. And by having that gift by faith, the gift of forgiveness, you also have the future gift / promise of the resurrection of the body and life eternal with your Lord and your God. I realize, behind the sweet-smelling Easter lilies, smiling faces, uplifting demeanor and attitudes, I know there is still something on your mind. I'm not a prophet, no, but Scripture talks about sin, right? And sin is something that we are all infected with, and we're all bothered by it. And I know there's something bothering you, something vexing and troubling you. The service will end. You'll go home. Tomorrow the work week will begin, along with all of its challenges and struggles. Sin doesn't take a vacation. Neither does Satan, as you know all too well. But friends, as you go from here, as you leave this place, please remember this. It is precisely because of this sinful, fallen world and God's love for you that Christ came. That the Son of God came, taking on flesh and blood, absorbing your sin, going to the cross, dying, and rising on the third day, testifying to the world that I am the Lord over all things, even death, and that gift is yours. That means, dear Christian friends, as hard as life is, this suffering is for a little while. This life is not the end. Your body is not the end. Maybe for some of you, or many of you, your body doesn't work quite the way it used to. You might suffer from some injuries, a disease, a sickness, whatever. Friends, for the sake of Christ, you have a resurrection of the body to behold. That means the day will come when the corrupted flesh puts on the incorrupted flesh, when the perishable flesh puts on the imperishable. That's what the resurrection of the body means. Life with your God, without sickness, without disease, without tragedy, without devastation, without having to labor for the food that only perishes, without mourning and crying over seeing another loved one die. That is yours to behold. And it's yours because of Christ, who died and rose again to give you this gift. I leave you with this. Our proclamation this day, it is true. And it matters because it means everything for the sinner. You are forgiven in Christ. And he has overcome the grave. And that victory, friends, he gives to you. And not even the world can take it away. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human hearts and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.